Good morning. Well, good evening, good afternoon to anybody listening out there. Happy In Phase Tuesday, and welcome back to In Phase, the Cycle Syncing Podcast. I'm Robin.
And my name is Lauren. And In Phase is a podcast, a space, and a community for women who are passionate about embracing all phases of their bodies, their cycles, and their lives. And we're excited because today we're chatting.
We are chatting.
There's some fun things to chat about.
We're having a little bit less of a structured episode today, knowing that obviously for the most part, we have specific topics that we bring into each episode and like really do a deep dive. But Lauren and I were chatting this week and we were like, we should just have a little bit of a catch up. And then also bringing in some of the segments that we've been talking about in past episodes. For instance, we've got some really great submissions for Ludiel Made Me Do this week. And then also taking some listener questions we've gotten from friends of the pod. FOTPs, we'll both get like texts or questions from ladies in our lives and men, honestly. I've gotten some really nice questions from some of the men in my life, specifically the gay men who are like, I never knew a vagina worked like this, or I never knew that happened.
Tell me more.
Yes. I'm like, listen, sit me down over a martini and I will tell you everything. But we have some fun questions, educational questions from people who have been asking a lot about ovulating. So we're talking a little bit about ovulating today, but we're also just doing a little catch up between me and Lauren because we have had a lot going on in life lately.
Yeah, it's true. And actually, we're meeting in the morning, which is fun. I realized that we both grabbed our caffeinated Bebs.
As we both pulled up our like iced coffee and do you have a tea over there? I bet.
I do.
I think it's also like, it's indicative of different personality traits a little bit. Like me having like an iced coffee. I've got like a Mary Ruth's hair growth cookie butter serum in here. I don't know if it's working, but placebo effect. I'm like, I think it might be.
So incredible.
Yes. And again, going back to last week, guess what? I was influenced on TikTok. So sue me.
It happens to the best of us. Okay. So this hujicha. Someone help me make sure I'm saying it right. It's matcha leaves, but it's not just the leaves. It's the stems and they're roasted. So it's like a nuttier matcha. It's a little less caffeine. They say it's like, it creates a bit more focus versus like energy.
Okay.
And I've been loving it.
Here's a real question. And again, this could be a placebo effect thing too. Do you actually feel more focused when you're like calmer, more focused energy? Or do you think that since you know that you're drinking something that says that, that you're like, it's telling me that, so I feel that way?
Yeah, I simply have no idea. I'm like, the brain, you know what I mean? Because like the brain is so powerful. We can like convince ourselves of anything.
Yes.
That I want to think it is, but I have no idea. But I will say the ritual of making a matcha, that is calming. That is calming. Heating up the almond milk, putting the water in the powder, mixing with the whisk like that. Like, I know that's good for my brain. There's that at least.
I always say too, because I drink a shit ton of coffee. Like I am a coffee drinker from dusk until dawn. I know, Huberman, it's bad for my cortisol levels to drink it first thing when I wake up. But it's my morning ritual to get up. Pad my little feet downstairs, make the coffee. I coconut pull while I'm making the coffee to help naturally whiten my teeth and get rid of some of that mouth toxin. So then I'm habit stacking on top of it. Atomic Habits.
Let's go. Thanks, James Clear.
Sometimes I'll put my mask as I'm getting everything ready. I'm like double up. But there is something so special about the ritual of it all in the morning. Mm-hmm. That's just as calming and focusing as the actual like sipping of the coffee for me.
100%. Yeah. It's like, it's the act of this is part of routine.
Yes.
And there's something about like taking that time to be intentional about making something for yourself to start the day, which I love. So I totally agree. I watch a lot of Architectural Digest Open Doors on YouTube. It's my favorite thing in the world. When a new Open Doors drops, Gabe and I are like, yeah, like it's like as if like a new album dropped. Like we are so excited. And anyway, there was one with Travis Barker and he was showing everyone his matcha station. It was like Travis and Courtney and he had his like matcha station with all his like spices and everything. And I think about that a lot where I'm like, one day I'm going to create like a really nice matcha station.
Okay.
And that's going to be awesome.
I have those little things too. It's like the one day in my house, I'm going to have this. The one day I'm going to do this. By the way, I'm in a new section of my house today. If anyone sees my nice big bird of paradise behind
me. Thriving.
I know she's doing really well.
I love her.
The thing is, I am a horrible green thumb. I will get all these new plants. I've got like 30 plants in my house and I have to cycle them out every 6 months because I don't take good care of them. And I'm sorry to you guys, but as I look around and talk to the plants in my room, but she's doing great.
Do you sing to them?
No, I don't, but I've heard that I'm supposed to.
Yeah, maybe your Harrison should sing to them.
I think that's got to be a Harrison thing. It's got
to be. That's fair.
As we're recording upstairs, as he left the bedroom, Lauren heard it, and I was like, do not take that guitar out while I'm recording. Do not.
Also, the plant.
No, they got to stay alive after we're recording. I was like, if I hear that electric guitar downstairs, it's a no for me. Have I told you, by the way, this is a really funny quirk of his. When we're beefing, if we're in like a fight or something like that, or like not getting along, or have just gotten into like a disagreement, like we separate, like I was like, fine, I'll go upstairs and read my book and whatever, we'll take a little space. He angrily plays the electric guitar on like level 100. And I'm
like, it's like a 15-year-old boy. I'm obsessed
100%.
With that.
I'm like, this is the most annoying passive aggressive shit I have ever heard. I'm upstairs. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to cool off and go read my book. We'll like come back to this later. And then all of a sudden I hear like, meow, 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 meow. And I'm like, now this fight's going to go on a lot longer. Let me tell you.
To be honest, I hear that and I go, I should get an electric guitar. I hear that. I go, that's an unbelievable. That's so funny.
It really is. And the thing is like, it's fucking hilarious to talk about now. And it is.
Oh, if I were you, I'd be furious though if I were in your shoes.
It's the equivalent of like slamming a door or something, but like an artistic way of slamming a door. It's like, I'm gonna stick it to her
with the whammy pedal. It's so.
Listen to this rip. I'm like, And the thing is, like, I'm not going to go downstairs and say, turn it off, because that's what you want. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to force her to come down and argue more. I was like, no, I'm going to sit up here, but I am going to be banging my head against the wall being like, when is this stop? When is this going to stop? I was like, he's going to put himself out. He's going to listen to this and be so annoyed. But then he's going to, you know what then he's going to do? He's going to go in there. He's going to be like, let me show you.
Can I ask, is there like a specific song or like solo he's ripping every single time? Or
no. He plays his own music. So it's not like he's playing somebody else's stuff. So it's like, whatever he's playing comes from the fucking heart. Let me tell you,
he's just
riffing. And here's the even more annoying part about it. It sounds great. He's really talented. So I'm upstairs being like, turn this shit off. But then I'm also
like sick lick.
I know. I'm a
stop it.
Vibe. Turn it off. So anyway. He's not doing that now.
No beef.
I'm upstairs like kind of like angrily bobbing my head. I'm like, yeah, this rocks, but also pissing me off. So anyway, if anyone else can relate to that, if they're in an argument with their partner and they just go downstairs and like rip the electric guitar as an act of defiance, let me know, because you and I have something in common.
Seriously.
I don't think it's that common, but there's got to be somewhere out there. Someone out
there.
Yeah,
to be honest, I'm like, I'm dying to hear more. I love it. I really love it. I love it so much. I really want to learn the drums. Well, the bass and the drums. But there's something about also, too, like, I feel like it's such, like, a release instrument, you know? Because you got to, like, slam it.
Our mutual friend, Kurt, his husband, Brooks, has been taking drum lessons on a weekly basis for a couple years now.
Love that.
I think for Kurt, it's probably the most annoying thing on the planet, obviously, if your partner's learning the drums.
Oh, yeah. I think about this where... My mom, who listens every week, hi, mom, I love you. My mom bought a cello. This is like when my brother and I like were in middle school. My mom was like, I want to learn the cello, which I'm like, so fierce. Love that. Because she hadn't played an instrument growing up. She was like a dancer, like really musical, but bought a cello. And we always reminisce on my mom playing Hot Cross Buns poorly, like nonstop for hours, just like over and over and over.
Oh,
and it was like so funny as a kid to be like, mom, you have to stop playing Three Blind Mice and Hot Cross Buns. It's like,
it's so funny because like that is what you do when you're learning an instrument, but you just usually see 5-year-olds doing it. So to see like an adult grown woman kind of struggling through Hot Cross Buns, there's something so endearing about that and also really beautiful. Like, I think we have lost the art of learning things like in our adult life. And
the art of being bad at things.
Yes.
That's something that like...
As we talked about last week, I don't like being bad at things. That hip-hop dance class, guess what? I never took a hip-hop dance class again after that, okay? So I was struggling through 1, 2, 3.
Until?
4.
Nyx.
I forgot I told you I could do it with you.
We're taking one.
I will. But no, I'll do it. Here's the thing. I'll stick myself back in the situation that I am unequivocally really bad at. For you, I will.
Thank you so much. But no, you're so right. I love that. There's like something about like one, making bad art, which I love. And mm-hmm. like two, the idea of like, it's okay to not be good at something. We're so trained to just focus on the things that we're good at. Yeah. And we find such comfort in that. And there's, yeah, it's like an amazing test of resilience and patience and curiosity to be like, I'm going to do this thing that I haven't quite figured out. And I'm still going to devote time to it.
I love it. You know what? It's a kind of a parallel to us starting this podcast too. Like, you and I are such perfectionists and also like brand wizards. Oh my God. I can't believe I just said that. Scrap that. That's like when people are on LinkedIn and their title is like media ninja, like CI warrior. It's like, oh no. Okay.
It's the worst. Yeah.
We both work in branding. It took us 3 years to launch this goddamn thing. And I think a lot of it has to do with like, oh, we don't know how to be the best at this yet because we're so new to it. And you and I are both kind of like type A high performers. Well, I'm definitely more type A than you. And I appreciate your type B bringing me down to earth sometimes.
And I need your type A to get on. So here we go.
Lauren and I,
the yin and the yang.
I'm type B. I'm out here stressing out about so many things. And she's like, it's good, my dude. Don't worry. We'll figure it out. And you know what? Usually it is good. And we do figure it out. So,
hey, it's why we work together well, which I love.
We're a yin and yang situation. But truly, it's like, yeah, afraid of being bad at something kind of is, it's definitely a stopgap to going after and taking a shot at something that you could eventually be good at, or it could even just eventually just bring you a lot of joy.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. Okay, question for you. You're in Luteal. Going into Luteal or in Luteal.
Been Luteal.
Deep. Okay, how's it been? How's the week? What's going on?
Remember how I told you, you as a person and you the collective in phase audience, that I get very like melancholy when I am in my Luteal phase? I've been super introspective this week. And I think that's a great thing for me right now because lately I've been moving at such a speed in life that I haven't allowed myself time to sit down and like reflect and be introspective and journal and think. Mm. And I've talked about this before, but when I fall off of those more grounding practices, I really see how that affects my life and affects kind of how I'm moving. And I just think I've been going too fast with too many different things between like us working my full-time job, planning a wedding. I'm planning a trip to Portugal to go back and to do a big wedding planning trip. And it's just like, and then also maintaining family relationships, maintaining friendships and community and our just event calendar of living as a human. I feel like I've been juggling a lot and moving at like 60 miles an hour when I could stand to slow down and move at 30 and spend a little being. And I think this week has been illuminating for me in that because I got back into a therapy session with my therapist. By the way, shout out therapy. If anyone ever wants to talk about therapy, we are such big proponents. I would not have made it through different moments in my life without therapists. But my girl Elise, shout out Elise, I love her so much. I went into a session with her this week and I was feeling very anxious. And I think that's part to do with Luteal. We're overthinking things. Mm. As we talked about last week, we're like detectives trying to find problems where potentially problems don't exist. Also overthinking, misrepresenting social cues. But I went in feeling very anxious because I hadn't seen her in a while. And I was like, what do I have to talk about with her? And also what if she judges me for what I have to talk about? And I don't know, it wound up being a session that was so nice, but also where we got to a lot of kind of deeper things. Like, you know, when you have a session, you're like, I don't know how this is going to go. And you walk out being like, whoa, we had a major breakthrough. And now I'm both like sad, but happy and realizing that I've got stuff to think about and stuff to work on. And I haven't had that in a long time. And that falling right in my Luteal phase when we are more introspective and also when we're more sensitive, that was my big Luteal moment. It's definitely less funny than we've been talking about recently. And I have another funny thing that I did that offsets it, but it was I've had a very introspective, a little bit melancholy, and then kind of like deep dive emotional work week in my Luteal phase. And I think that's both good and harder in this specific phase.
Yeah, that's so real. But I love that you had a good therapy session. I love hearing that. And cool that like the timing of your therapy session aligned with your Luteal when you're set up to be more introspective. It's really Very beautiful.
Yeah, it was really nice. And I walked out. I don't know if you have this, but sometimes when I have a really good therapy session or just like really deep and heavy, but heavy in a good way, I think a heavy therapy session is a really, really good sign. I think if you're walking out of therapy feeling either just like both lighter or more tired, I oftentimes walk out of therapy just feeling exhausted because you've done so much emotional work, which I think affects you just as much as doing physical work. Like even like thinking about grief, like grief is such a physical process. And that has been proven by several studies about how it affects your physicality in a way that people don't understand.
Yeah.
How like fatigue amplifies when you're going through grief. But I walked out feeling exhausted, but also slightly optimistic about like where it was headed a little bit. And I think that was really, really nice. We were drawing parallels between like my relationship with my parents to relationships that I have had in previous romantic situations. And I was like, whoa, this is like quintessential therapy shit. But I think it's good.
Yeah. Love that. I love that.
You're in Ludio too, though.
I'm in Ludio too. It's funny.
We're sisters, and I love that.
I know. We're synced, which is so great. Yeah, it's funny. I resonate with a lot of what you're saying because I've been feeling like the past 2-3 weeks have just been like tumbling into each other. I'm just like trying to keep up between similar. It's just like work is really busy. My parents were in town. There's just been like some news that hasn't been ideal that's been popping up over the last couple of days. And so it's just been like a lot of moving and moving and moving and not really pausing to like reflect on actually what's going on and how I'm feeling. So it's interesting too, where it's like, it was like 3 days ago. It was on Monday. I like carved out time to journal and I literally like started journaling. I hadn't journaled in like probably like 2 weeks. Started journaling. This happens all the time where I'm starting. I'm like doing like my brain dump and I'm like 2 minutes in. I'm like, I feel so much better already. Huh, should do this more. Then I keep going. And I do this all the time where it's like, and you know, it's any moment where things feel crazy, where it's like, I know I'm going to feel better if I go for a walk. And sometimes it's just too hard to do.
Yeah.
And same thing with journaling where I'm like, I know I'm going to feel better, but sometimes it's just like feels too hard. And it's the thing where I'm so grateful that I stopped and did that. And I've journaled every day, sometimes twice a day since then, which has felt a lot better. And it was funny yesterday, I was journaling in the morning and Gabe was watching Encanto with Carmen. And like my office, there's like French doors, but they don't really block any sound.
Okay, she.
So I'm like journaling as I'm hearing like, welcome to the family, man, dun, dun. And I'm like, and it's one of those moments where I'm like, I should have just gone to a coffee shop. And I'm like, no, Lauren, like the fact that you're still journaling, even though it's not like the ideal situation, you're still doing it. It's going to be better. So
that's a nice reminder that we can have small practices of grounding, even when our life is still chaotic. And we don't need to carve out these giant moments in completely quiet, still situations to find
peace.
Quiet when you need it the most.
That's so real, especially because I feel like, I love you said that, because I used to do the artist's way and they talk about morning pages where it's like 3 pages of just like brain dump. Yep. So when I journal, I usually try to do 3 pages. That's just like in my brain. But sometimes you only have time for like 5 minutes and that's okay. And it's still better than nothing. So that's been a lot of this week. And then it's funny, I woke up this morning feeling like a bit bummed. And so I went on a walk. I had Carmen in a little carrier and I had Hank with me. And we're like walking in Brentwood. And I looked up and there was this guy walking in front of me. And he had like jogger pants on, like a zip up running jacket.
Okay.
And then he had like a belt loop, like a makeshift belt loop holding a banana that was like hanging over his hip.
He had a banana holder?
Banana holder. So he's just like walking in. There's just like a banana like dangling off of his hip.
Love
which
that.
I was like, I'm obsessed. And so
it's like, that's like Cammy's idea for chic
tampons.
Tampon holder. Which, by the way, we really need to get that into production. And also, if anyone's listening and trying to steal that, we trademarked that already. So you can't do that.
Yeah, you can. It's ours. Sorry. So this man, I saw this man holding with his banana holder. And then I am so happy this happened. I had to record it because I was like, this is hilarious. And I pulled out my phone to record it. And as I recorded, he pulled the banana off of the belt and opened it, flung the peel in the bushes and started eating it.
If you don't send me this video, I'll die.
No, it's amazing. I unfortunately don't have him flinging it into the bushes, but I do have him ripping it off and like getting ready to eat it.
How old
and it was, oh my gosh, no, he was like probably like 29.
That's even better because I picture this to be like some like dad thing or something like that. Like I picture him with like Asics and like high socks and khaki shorts. He's just like a 29-year-old dude.
He's like a 29-year-old dude wearing like makeshift Viore with his like banana belt. I'm used to like runners. Like when you're a runner, you have to have refuel and you put it in weird places. This guy was just walking. He was just walking and said, give me some potassium ASAP. Need it.
He needs it. It helps with cramping. Hello.
It was awesome. So that really made me smile because I'm like, oh my gosh, I love the creativity. Just love the creativity. And just like how natural that was for him.
This guy exists. The world isn't that terrible.
He rocked. And then I proceeded to walk past the La La Land in Brentwood and there were four men dressed as Smurfs. This was like 8:05 in the morning. There were four men fully covered in blue. Some had beanies on, some had yellow wigs on. And I literally heard someone say, Papa Smurf, your matcha's ready. And I went, it's going to be okay.
No! Okay. Say what you want about this city. This is the kind of thing that you see all the time in LA. And I'm like, yeah, I love that. I saw this TikTok the other day of this woman talking shit about LA, which a lot of people do. And also, I get it. There are some things. Before I moved here, I was like, I don't want to move to that cesspool of money and materialism and nepotism. A lot of tisms. And this woman talking about, she's like, if anyone thinks that it's bad living in LA, let me tell you about my experience. It'll prove to you that it is. And it was talking about how she got invited to a group dinner and everyone, but it was people she didn't know. So they put together a group chat, but everyone then was asked to drop their Instagram handle in the group chat to see like how many followers they had or people could follow each other before the dinner. Then at the dinner, they were only referring to each other by their Instagram handle. By the way, my Instagram handle is at Robin Dibovic. It's my name. So that's tricky for people to do full Dibovic. There's no reason for that.
Right.
And she was like, yeah. And then no one talked to me because I had less followers than everybody else. And I'm like, is that true? And also, as someone who's lived in LA for 10 years, I've never once experienced anything like that. And just hearing some of that stuff, I get like very defensive. Like I cock back my fist if anyone's not watching this. And I'm like, it's not true. Okay. You know what? I've never been to an influencer dinner here when people didn't talk to me because I only have 1,000 followers and I'm not an influencer. And you get to wake up and see and hear Papa Smurf, your matcha is ready in this city. And I think that's really great.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. There you go. I mean, it's the thing where I feel like in any city, there is pros and cons.
It's so true.
In any city, there is like people chasing status. You know what I mean? It's just sort of like, I don't know. I have my own tips with LA sometimes too, but it is
I forgot. I'm talking to an LA hater.
It's getting, each day I like LA a little more.
Okay, I have to tell you about my weekend though really quickly before we get into, Lulio made me do that, and then this mini topic about ovulation.
Yeah.
By the way, ovulation question came from Laura, who is my brother's girlfriend, who I love, my little mini sissy-in-law.
Love that.
Yes, she's the best. So shout out Laura. We'll get to her question in a second. But so I was in New York this weekend because I was wedding dress shopping with my mom. It was so fun. It was so great. My mom and I have a very close, special relationship. That is my girl. That is my BFF. She is just the sweetest, cutest, kindest little human you've ever met. I'm 5'9", and she is like just hitting 5'4". So she like fits under my chin and we're like a really fun duo together. She's just adorable and the greatest person on the planet. So when we have weekends together, it's very special. And we try to do New York like together for a weekend once a year. But we've obviously never done wedding dress shopping in New York. So we planned out like a whole weekend. We hit like 3 stores one day, 2 stores the next day. And it was just such a lovely, lovely time. I had a blast. Had an absolute blast.
Did you find one?
Okay, so I think I did. And I'm going to show it to you.
No!
I didn't tell you this before. I'm going to text it to you right now. Now, I'm a 95% sure on this. So you have to, what I was looking for to give you a little.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Okay, you have your phone on you, right?
Well, I don't, but I have my iMessage on my computer. Stuff.
I wanted something that was both timeless and elegant, but had a little bit of drama and a little bit of like fashion cool girl edge. So I'm going to ask that you don't describe the dress because Harrison, kill me.
Yep.
But know that that's what I was looking for with this. And let me know if you think I hit it. Okay, ready?
Wait, I'm so excited. Are you kidding me?
You got it.
Wait, what the heck? This is unbelievable.
Do you like it?
Stunning.
Good.
I'm like, my words are gone.
She's joking.
It's so be. Also, your body looks insane.
That is a really good angle for me, I will say. That's the picture I'm if I'm showing people, which I'm not showing a lot of people, because like, you don't want to like you then you ruin the debut of the drama on the day.
But, stunning.
Okay, yeah.
I have literally no notes. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I'm clapping. Okay.
Robin, it's like perfect.
Oh, yay.
It's perfect.
Here's the thing, because I've gone shopping a lot, and then you have like decision fatigue. There's so many choices out there. I'm inundated with different dresses all the time on TikTok, on Instagram, and I'm just like, how do I pick one? But this was one of those that I put it on, and I was like, shit.
It looks like it was made for you. Like, it truly looks like it was made for you. It's so beautiful.
Yay!
I like want to talk about it in depth, but I know I'm not allowed to.
So I know, you can't talk about it in depth. We'll talk about it in depth afterwards.
I'm so excited. Wait, when in the journey did you stumble upon this one?
First shop we went to, of course.
Mm-hmm.
First shop we went to, and obviously my like consultant there was this like little like this like queen gay guy named Matthew, and he and I were just kikiing the whole time. Love him. We've been texting ever since.
Incredible.
But it was great because we got to then like go, we still got to have the experience of the rest of the days, but it felt like the pressure was lifted because now we just needed to beat something that we already absolutely loved. I say we, because it was a group project between me and my mom. And didn't beat it. Definitely didn't beat it. And then have been thinking about it ever since.
How did your mom react?
She cried, but she cried because she saw me cry. And like, she thought it was so loved the dress so much, but I had this very emotional reaction. Like as soon as I stepped in front of the mirror, like this, like kind of like gut punch. I was like, oh shit, this is what I've been looking for. And so I started crying, and she said, she was like, seeing your reaction and seeing your face, seeing yourself was so beautiful. And also the dress is incredible. Like, I love it. Yeah. It's my favorite I've ever seen you put on, but the way that you reacted was the most beautiful thing. And I was like,
yeah,
mom, my sweet angel.
So sweet.
So maybe not maybe, but well, I mean, maybe if I get it, which I think I'm like 95% sure, but then you'll see it in Portugal.
Oh my gosh. I don't know how one tops this. I truly don't know. It's so stunning.
Yay!
I'm so happy that you found one you love. That's so great.
I know. I'm stoked. Okay, so we'll talk more about it offline. Because there's like little details about it that I want to talk to you about, but we can't.
Yeah.
We can't give Harrison any hints.
Harrison, you better get ready. You better start prepping now. Start prepping now. Otherwise, you're going to pass out and the wedding's going to have to be on hold. And I know you're putting a lot of work into planning this. So, Harrison, this is for you. Make sure you start preparing for what you're about to see.
Fun fact, I know someone who passed out at their own wedding. The groom. Yep. My Uncle Mark. Shout out Uncle Mark. He like
shout out Uncle Mark. Wedding,
like got up there, kneeled next to my Aunt Ellen as they're like, I think, doing their vows. And then just passed out at the altar.
Was he just stressed? Anxious?
No. I think he was stressed. He puts on a big tough guy face, but he's really a sensitive little teddy bear. And I think his daughters listen to this, my cousin. So he might get a earful of this, but he's like the sweetest guy, but has like a tougher exterior that he tries to put on. And I don't know. I think he was stressed and nervous. He loves Aunt Ellen so much. So it's probably like the moment of his life. And, you know, he might say he was just hot, but I think he was stressed and excited.
That's hilarious. So great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Should we dive into our first segment?
I was gonna say that. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Let's do it. Okay.
All right. Ludiel made me do it. So we brought this up last week and we said we're gonna bring this into every episode, which I'm super excited about. So please share your stories about what you're feeling, what decisions you might be making during your luteal phase, because it's super normal to have very extreme reactions to things during this time.
Yes.
Because again, your progesterone is shifting. It leads to emotional sensitivity, irritability, insecurity, exhaustion, paranoia, impulsivity, craving comfort, craving control. It's just like, we have a lot going on during this phase.
Do we?
And again, yeah, a lot. And again, it's a moment where for me, this was like a huge unlock. Once I knew this was what was happening to me physically, it allowed me to have a lot of grace for what I was going through emotionally during this time, every single month. So let's share some fun listener stories about what happened in people's luteal phases.
And as a, like, just a doubling down on what Lauren is saying, like this is learning about the luteal phase has changed my perspective on everything because we can look at it with grace, even talking about like having this really intense therapy session and know that it might have felt more intense because of what I'm going through right now. I actually talked with her about the luteal phase. I'm in luteal. I'm feeling really melancholy. She's like, okay, great. Let's dive into that. Good for awareness. And I was like, is it ever, sis? Love you, Elise. But this, like, you want to look at the luteal phase with like humor and warmth and empathy, and never women are crazy, because that is just not the narrative. That is not correct. We are out here destigmatizing that. So this was one of these. I loved this because my friend Abby, who lives in Chicago, she listens to the podcast every Tuesday, usually when she's on a walk with her baby Noli. And I'll get like a big like review of it via text. And it's always very hard. Like, I'm so sorry you had such a hard time in Cabo, blah, blah, blah. She's like, it's so good to hear more, learn more about luteal phase. She's going back to work after like postpartum, the first week, deep in her luteal phase. And I was like, damn, that sounds so hard.
Should be illegal.
Yes. And she's like, I'm so glad I listened to the podcast that week, because I truly was like, I have to quit my job today. Mm. And I was like, listen, the rule, don't make any big decisions when you're in the luteal phase. Don't sign contracts, don't quit jobs, don't move houses, nothing.
Yep. But
this is a luteal made me do it submission from Abby. 2 years ago, Ben, her husband, had a midweek work trip and I was in my luteal phase. I was very content with planning a solo evening. I was getting Thai food delivery, face mask, rewatching New Girl, etc. That evening, Ben calls me super excited to say he's canceled his work trip and he's going to be home that night. Can't wait to spend time with me. I was so disappointed when he got home. I made him go to the basement for the night so that I could still have the solo evening that I envisioned, including ordering Thai food only for myself. Do not kill my vibe, sir.
And I was like, my gosh,
I've never identified with anything more than this. When you walk in and you have this set plan to be solo, dolo, beautiful, girly evening, and
planned it all out,
and then everything walks in and says, I'm here too. No, 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 no. Yep. Cut that fist back. Absolutely not. No.
That's so real. It's so good.
That she exiled him to the basement. He's like excited. He's like, babe, I came home to spend time with you. She's like, nope, downstairs. Thai food's on the way. I have a face mask on.
She said, you can't even be on the same level of the house as me. She said, you have to be physically below me on a different level. Can't even be breathing the same air. Fierce. That's so funny.
And that's on a boundary, okay?
Hey, we know ourselves. We know what we need. That's so good. Oh my gosh. I love it.
Okay, so that was from Abby, which I loved. And this next one is from my friend Ashley. She sent this via text as well. And she said, all right, so in luteal phase, I went ham one luteal phase recently on learning French and Spanish at the same time because not knowing either felt quote unquote embarrassing. So I did that for like a 9-day streak and I haven't learned one word since. And that was like 3 months ago. The fact that you're berating yourself for not knowing multiple languages and seeing it as embarrassing during this phase is
amazing.
I just like, I understand that.
Deeply resonate with this. I also love the extreme of not going to learn one. I'm going to learn both at the exact same time is totally unbelievable.
And the thing is, like, that's multiple luteal realities at the same time. Like, one, insecurity. You're feeling embarrassed because you're not trilingual, which is wild. Paranoia, because that's kind of categorically bananas. Then impulsivity, downloading Duolingo, doing both for 9 days straight. My guess is it's the 9 days until she got her period.
Right.
Craving control, right? So like trying to like fix the situation right away by learning both Spanish and French in like a 9-day push is so I'm just good. Like, oh, okay, let's take off everything that this like makes sense in terms of falling into the luteal phase tropes. And I'm like, oh yeah, you hit five of the pillars right there.
It's so good. Oh my gosh. Wow. And I love it.
Thank you for submitting these, guys. And again, if other women are listening and have these moments, and even if it's just like a memory from a long time ago or something that happened recently, please reach out and let us know. Lauren and I talk weekly about like what's the most luteal thing we've been up to. Mine, aside from like the deep introspective therapy session that I had this week, I screamed out loud at my car in the gym earlier this week, or as I'm parking at the gym, because it wouldn't unlock the way that I wanted it to. And I was like, had bags full of stuff. It was 6 a.m. I had to like look around and be like, no one's here, right? No one saw me just scream at an inanimate object, right? In public.
Hey, it happens to the best of us.
I just threw an adult tantrum at a vehicle.
Okay. And that's no deal.
It is. As a reminder, helpful information. What's important is understanding like why this happens.
Yes.
You're not crazy. This is all about hormonal fluctuation. Your estrogen drops. Your progesterone rises. Serotonin sensitivity shifts completely. Your nervous system becomes more reactive. I don't usually scream at my public that I fucking hate it, as if it's a person. And your body's preparing for a potential pregnancy and just like gearing up. You're not irrational. You're literally just more sensitive to stress and emotional stimuli. And unfortunately, existing in the world today, we've got a lot of both of those things coming at you all the time. So
100%. And it's like that shift too of like, you go from a phase of feeling on top of the world and then feeling like this, like yes. All those things you just mentioned, like that drastic shift of feeling like I can do anything. I am the most capable. I've never felt more stunning. And then all of a sudden this happens. It's like enough to make everyone be like, what is going on? So it's just such a good reminder of like, this is just what your body is doing and it's normal and it's okay. And how can we have grace for ourselves for those drastic shifts?
And I think too, you and I talked about it last week, and a really good way to phrase it is like when you move into this phase, you go from main character energy into like the side piece in your life that just feels like tossed aside. And I think that's like a tough shift. You like are on top
totally.
Of and one day and you're like, I've got everything. And the next day you're like, everyone hates me. No one's paying attention to me. Nothing's working for me. And I want to go to sleep forever or just go order Thai food and watch Vanderpump Rules or New Girl until I die.
Right, right. It's like you're entering into this new phase, which is already hard. And then you have to almost mourn the feeling you just had in the last phase. So it's like you're grieving and mourning this thing while also taking on this thing.
Yeah.
You're like, being a woman's wild.
I miss the follicular girl. Where is she?
Come back.
Yeah, let's firing on all cylinders no more. Okay, and then moving into also a listener question. And this is something that I have talked about a lot. And I've actually like heard my friends discuss this and have this question quite a bit. So when Laura, my brother's girlfriend, reached out to me, which is like, hey, do you know about this? I was like, oh, this is common for people to ask this. And it's all around kind of the nuances of ovulating that we might not talk about, which is, why am I bleeding a little bit when I'm ovulating? Why is it a little bit painful? Is that normal? Is that okay? And also, is the whole thing true about the fact that some women can tell which egg they are releasing from, which fallopian tube or which ovary they're releasing an egg from? Because it alternates every month. It's either the left one or the right one. So it was one big question about ovulating, but it was three little mini ones that I think are pretty common with women. So we kind of just wanted to address that and dive into that and have that be a mini segment.
Love it.
So let's start with the ovulation bleeding. I really like this question because this happens to me fairly frequently. And I think there's common misconceptions around like what that means. A lot of the times people think like if you are bleeding off cycle at all, your hormones are out of whack and there is something wrong. And that is not necessarily true. It depends what the bleeding is like. If it is heavy, if it's clotting, if it goes on for like more than just a day or two, it is something to take a deeper look at. However, light bleeding for a day or two that is just like light pink or dark brown is pretty common for women when they're ovulating. And why this happens is that around ovulation, estrogen drops very briefly before progesterone rises. And that hormonal fluctuation can cause a tiny bit of uterine lining shedding. So that's what's happening there. So it's like a teeny tiny mini pre-period. It's usually pink or light red, really, really light. It also can be just be mixed in with ovulation discharge, which is kind of like that more like egg white consistency. So sometimes people don't notice it too, or it doesn't feel like an actual period because it's not the same consistency of liquid. And it usually, so important nuance here is that it doesn't happen to everybody and that is okay. And it also doesn't happen every cycle. This happens to me like once every few cycles. And I'm like just paying attention like, oh, I wonder why that's going on this month. And kind of like, am I more stressed? Am I moving my body more or less?
Yeah.
So it's a good reality to just be like, oh, what's going on differently for me this month? And then keep in mind, if it's heavy bleeding that's lasting for a long time, that's when it's time to use it as like a little bit of a check-in and be like, oh, there might be something deeper going on here that's actually not healthy for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great flag. That's a great flag. Like heavy bleeding isn't typical. So it's a good chance to check in.
Yeah.
But it's really good to know that the light spotting is not not normal. Like, that's really helpful to know, because I do think, there's that reminder of like, whenever something feels different, it's like something's wrong.
Yes.
Everything's falling apart is sometimes how I can feel.
Yes.
So just the idea of, this is a thing that a lot of people go through. And if it's light, it's probably nothing to worry about, is such a great flag to raise.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to talk about ovulation pain? A second part of
this? Sure. So yeah. Okay. So there's a new word we've learned called Mittelschmerz, and it's German meaning middle pain. And it's a word that can be used to describe ovulation pain, which is so cool because, again, the way that like language can just help people feel validated is so magical. So the fact that this word exists is so cool. And what's actually happening when you're feeling ovulation pain is when the ovary releases an egg, the follicle does stretch. So you might be feeling a bit of that. Additionally, fluid or blood can irritate the abdominal lining. So you might be feeling the aftermath of that. And all of those things can cause things like cramping. It can cause sharp pain. It can cause dull aches. It can create pressure. But it could also create bloating, like we've talked about. Your body is literally needing to have some sort of inflammation for this act to occur. And so your ovulation might not be completely subtle. Like, you might be experiencing this feeling of, oh, I know when this is happening. Like, there are some women who genuinely do feel it every month.
For me specifically, and I don't know about you, Lauren, do you experience this? Because I sometimes
do
get cramping. Okay, I've gotten cramping when I'm ovulating, and it's made me mad in the past because I'm like, this is supposed to be when I'm like my sexiest, skinniest, and just magnetic and feeling the best about myself. So why am I getting like slight period symptoms?
Yeah.
All the time. But I have had it where I'm like, damn it, it got me again. But mine is a very, very dull. But I think Laura asked me because it was something that was affecting her. So I do think that it can change depending on the woman, depending on the period, depending on the cycle. If it's debilitating, it's something to look into. And also it can happen during sex too, because I think like that, especially penetrative sex, is kind of disrupting this and adding like more inflammation to what's going on. So it might be worth, and granted, if you're trying to get pregnant, this is really hard, but like avoiding sex directly in the 2 days when you're ovulating, if you do have Mittelschmerz, which now I'm using that in a sentence.
Mittelschmerz.
But something to keep in mind there too. But I think it varies for me, very subtle. But when I was talking to Laura, it seemed like it was something that wasn't the most subtle pain.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Super interesting.
So, and this is my favorite part of the question is, and I think this is like an old wives' tale. I learned this, or I heard this question first, or this idea from my middle school teacher, Mrs. Godfrey, when she was giving us a sex ed lesson in sixth grade. She said, some women are so in tune with their bodies that they can tell which ovary, which side, left or right, is releasing the egg that month because it alternates between left and right. And I was like, that's so cool. I hope one day to be so in tune with my body. I've never experienced this, so I'm still working towards this. But the answer is yes. Some women can sometimes know which ovary is releasing the egg. And I'm like, oh my God, amazing. So they can tell because ovulation pain will happen specifically on either the left side or the right side, because it's that ovary that is rupturing to release the egg. But it's not always
so
perfectly
cool.
Alternating, which I find is really interesting. It's not like your body is like, this time we're this month we're a right ovary. This month we're a left. It can like, it can go back and forth, and it can be a little bit of random. One ovary can be more dominant than the other one. So you can have like a stronger right ovary, and that girly is working overtime. And then left just pops in every few months to be like, oh, I got an egg for you.
Remember me over here? Yeah.
I'm still here. And then some women never feel side specific pain, and some women can know every single month. I've never been that girly, and I hope to one day be able, but it's like, how can you tell? Okay, wait. So, and here are some signs for how you can tell if that might be what you're experiencing. One-sided cramps when you're ovulating, a random kind of slightly stabbing sensation. That sounds very extreme. To be a woman, it's so great, but that's bloating on just one side. And also, fun fact, a lot of women experience increased libido during ovulation, and that's aside from the one side or the left side, that's all sides. But I mean, happy for you, girly. Get after it.
Yeah. No, I love that. And that's actually a perfect transition just to even talk about the weird things that happen during ovulation, because there are a lot of like things that a lot of people experience that we don't always talk about. So one of which is the increased libido. There's also more confidence/social energy. So again, this is a time where you might be able to like bounce around from a coffee to a lunch to a dinner to a party and just like feel like you're on top of the world. You might experience clearer skin. You might feel more beautiful. You mentioned this earlier that your cervical mucus changes. So if there's like an egg white consistency in your discharge, that is very common and very normal. Some people who don't use birth control can use that as a way to determine whether or not your body is ovulating. You might be experiencing bloating, heightened sensitivity when it comes to smell, tenderness in your breasts, increased discharge, vivid dreams, ovulation acne is a thing, one-sided cramping, spotting, and then high temperature after ovulation. Shout out Oura Ring, shout out Natural Cycles. Keeping us on track to know when our body is ovulating. So
sponsor us.
Yeah, there's a lot going on during this phase.
And that's what's so great about having these conversations. Like, we're taught about periods in school, and this has been our gripe since the beginning. Anyone who's been listening knows that the reason that Lauren and I wanted to start this podcast is to widen the aperture of conversation that we're having around women's reproductive health and around periods. But we're taught almost nothing about ovulation other than, yeah, you can. This is the time where you can get pregnant. But it's really the main hormonal event of the month. So we should be talking more about it. So if you have more questions about ovulation, please throw them our way. Happy to dive in. And we love getting, Ludiel made me do that, submissions. We love getting questions that we can bring directly to the podcast and answer. So please let us know what you want to hear more of. Let us know your kooky stories. Let us know your most introspective stories. If you're having a really intense therapy session during your luteal phase as well, you and I are in it together.
Amen. Yeah, we'd be honored to hear it. You can send us a DM. You can leave a comment on one of our posts. We also, if you go to our link in bio, there's a really cool thing where if you click, you can leave us a voicemail to share what one of your stories are. So we would love to hear your stories, maybe even share them on the pod. But in the meantime, happy cycle syncing. Have a good week.
Happy cycle syncing.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
And please go like, comment, subscribe, share this episode with a friend who might have the same questions about ovulating or any of the above. Thanks, guys. Yeah. See you
next
time.
Thanks for listening to In Phase, the cycle syncing podcast. You can follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at In Phase Pod. Follow host Lauren Cortizo at Lauren Cortizo and Robin Dibovic at Robin Dibovic. Thank you to our producer and social media manager, Sydney Rojas. And be sure to follow, subscribe, and give us a rating wherever you listen to your podcasts.